The Israel Report with Rolene Marks.
Rolene Marks, good afternoon to you. How are you this afternoon?
I'm good, but I'm always fascinated. You know, I come in on the stompy end of the conversation, so to speak, and I heard brouhaha and social networks and what I can only assume is a raising of blood pressure.
You are absolutely spot on. In fact, surprise, surprise, it happens to be one of the issues that you wanted to address this afternoon, and maybe because... We haven't gone into it in depth because I knew you were coming on with this. Let's talk about it maybe, Rolene. Let's talk about Gal Gadot culturally appropriating Cleopatra.
Or is she, Simon? Well, our very own Wonder Woman, Gal Gadot, who just happens to be on next month's cover of Vanity Fair, just saying, everybody, you know, there's nothing spells revenge like having a photo shoot on the beach of Tel Aviv while in Tel Aviv, looking fabulous on the cover of Vanity Fair. Just saying, but Gal Gadot announced that she's partnering up with Patty Jenkins. Patty Jenkins was the director of Wonder Woman and the subsequent sequel. They are absolutely a dynamic movie-making team, and she will be playing the legendary Egyptian queen Cleopatra, which I just want to remind listeners was played previously by Elizabeth Taylor, a beautiful blue-eyed Jewish Zionist. Just saying that as well. I'm just going to put it out there. Well, it ignited a storm of note. The anti-Israel activists, everybody went absolutely meshuga on social media networks, saying that she's whitewashing it. She's, you know, what is this white Ashkenazi Jew doing playing an Egyptian queen? Somebody, and it's a very famous tweet, put it out there that, you know, not only has she stolen the land from the Egyptians, I don't know how she went back in time to do that. But she has now stolen the role that beautiful Arab woman should be playing. And, you know, lots of debate and conjecture around Gal Gadot's roots and how dare she do this. And somebody wrote there that, you know, she's not just a genocidal Zionist. She's actually a big, and it's the word that rhymes with itch. I'm not sure we were allowed to say that on Family Friendly Radio, really? Which I was surprised. I mean, unless you actually know somebody, and Gal Gadot has a reputation of being probably one of the sweetest women in Hollywood, if not on the planet. And I couldn't resist jumping in there. I said, so you know her personally, or is this kind of judgment only reserved for Jews? This is very obviously a Jewish issue because when you look at who Cleopatra was, she was actually Macedonian Greek. She wasn't Arab. She wasn't Egyptian. She was Macedonian Greek. So who but Gal Gadot, who's second generation Sabra, born here in Israel, grew up in Rosh Ha'ayin, just down the road from me. Who better to play Cleopatra than somebody whose roots are so firmly in the Mediterranean, in this area, in fact, positioned perfectly between Greece and Egypt. But our own beautiful Gal Gadot, I mean, some accusations that she's bland and she's not beautiful enough, that's just nasty people, you know, when we start to comment and value women based on their looks like that.
There was a wonderful rebuttal about this whole issue in the Times of Israel, an opinion piece that I read last night, pointing out everything that you've just pointed out, but adding as well, Rolene, that the Arabs today are, in fact, not exactly indigenous either. They're there following the Muslim conquest 600 years after Cleopatra. So, you know, really, you've got to be careful going down that road. That is absolutely for sure. Anyway, enough of Gal Gadot and enough
It's an extraordinary op-ed. In fact, it's actually in the blog section. And I really would encourage anybody to who's on the Times of Israel, reads the Times of Israel, and who's very, very interested in this particular issue to go online and read it. It's by a guy called Dani Ishai Behan. He says it's called the title is Gal Gadot as Cleopatra is not whitewashing. It's an extraordinary and very, very in-depth blog piece, and I really would encourage people to read it for themselves.
Rolene, I want to talk to you about perhaps lifting of lockdown restrictions in Israel. I just do want to mention, because sometimes we forget to personalize this and we forget the human cost. Again, a heartbreaking picture in the Times of Israel yesterday about a shoe seller in Allenby Street who is at his wit's end. It's enough. He's lost everything and he threw all the shoes on the street saying, well, if I'm going to go bankrupt, I may as well give them all away. And then the area came and fined him for pollution, 1,500 shekels. Just awful, awful, sad news coming out of Israel on a human level.
It's absolutely heartbreaking, and I don't think that any of us watching that footage, I watched it myself when I was very, very emotional when I saw this, hasn't been affected by that. And we now have a situation in the government where we seem to have some kind of an impasse. We've got Netanyahu and the health ministry and Gamsu wanting to keep the lockdown in place. We've got Gantz coming in and saying, you know what, enough is enough. Any private business that's not client-facing, open them up already. We've got other Knesset. One of them is Avigdor Lieberman. Another one is Naftali Bennett, who wrote an op-ed in the J Post last week saying that we have to get this economy opening up. You know, when we started to come out of lockdown the first time around, the measures that were put in place were very, very, very stringent. And many of us are saying, why can't we go back to that? Why can't we go back to these mechanisms where you have to sign in, the temperatures have to be taken, you know, the onus is on everybody to be responsible. And I know that, we lapse in judgment. What we do know is that on Sunday, the kindergartens, the nursery schools will start to open. And there's a lot of discussion happening right now about, the school system. Should we open our schools? Because the amount of infections were very, very low. Modi Inn, where I am, is a green city. You know, we're at the top tier of the robot system. A lot of us saying, you know, can't we start opening our small businesses here in Modi Inn? A lot of small businesses saying they're going to start opening in defiance because we cannot continue like this. And it's a cautionary tale because I know we are ahead of the curve of South Africa and various other countries. It's a cautionary tale. Maintain all those measures to try and stop this second surge. It is very, very serious. We're seeing it now in the UK as well. The numbers are just soaring. It looks like the second surge seems to be a lot faster, a lot higher than the first.
And more significant death rate by the looks of it as well, Rolene.
And a more significant death rate. I'm looking at the stats around the world as well, climbing very, very rapidly. So whatever the experts tell you to do with regards to masks and hand washing and social distancing, listen to them. Don't get into the situation where other countries ahead of the curve have been done. I know Australia, I think, is coming out of their second wave. We are starting to hopefully come out of our second wave, but it has major ramifications. And what we don't talk about often enough is the consequences on people's mental health. This is very, very, very serious, very, very difficult the second time around. The one thing we do know is that no final decision on easing this lockdown is going to be taken until Thursday. I think a lot of discussion still has to be taken before there's any confirmation on what the next steps on that the Knesset has to vote that in. So it's pretty serious. And you know what? We feel for any small business. And where you can, people, support those small businesses, because it's not just helping your economy. It's actually a mitzvah.
Hear you loud and clear. And what's so completely mind-blowing about this whole situation is, on one hand, Israel's having such a tough time with it. On the other hand, news came out earlier this week about Israel, together with India, bringing out a test. Apparently, you can test COVID in 30 seconds. So incredible technological advances on the one hand, and yes, and yet a society in what's the word I'm looking for? Yeah, in a terrible place. And on the other hand.
This is what Israel does best, is ingenuity. When there are wartime situations, this has propelled us, and threats to our security, this has propelled us to be the startup nation or the innovation nation as we are. We're seeing now in the time of COVID this absolute acceleration of research, thinking, looking at collaboration, looking at ways to fight this virus. And it takes me to our last subject, which is conservation and environment. You know, we've had so much emphasis over the last week coming in Sir David Attenborough's documentary on Netflix, which although is very, very difficult to watch, is highly recommended. Prince William, his documentary and launching the Earthshot Prize, which is, of course, very exciting for a lot of Israeli innovators, because this is an area in the world where we lead in conservation, in the environment, and looking for these solutions. So this is an area where Israel excels. When we are pushed to our limits, to the brink, this is when our finest minds come out, innovating and thinking, and hopefully something concrete will come from Israel with regards to this virus.
Rolene Marks, don't need to say it. We are so grateful for your input today, as always, and look forward to the same tomorrow.
Well, I'm just as grateful for all you guys. And Simon, you know, wild horses couldn't keep me away from you tomorrow.
Cheers, Rolene. Thank you so very much.
God bless.
Hi FM, your station of choice since 2008.